So good. Well, I'm grateful to continue in our series that's titled With Us. If I could think of two words to describe the Christmas season, it would be with us. That God chose to send his one and only son in the form of a baby, born of a virgin, so that God in his presence could be with us and remain with us in very tangible and powerful ways. So for the past few weeks, we've been studying that phrase, with us, and how that applies to our lives in this day. And I've been using this reality statement. I'm going to put it up on the screen. I want you to lean into it. And I hope that it doesn't just stay on the screen. It jumps into your heart. Amen?
Yes.
Come on, amen means I agree. If you agree, I'm going to need a little feedback here today. God with us is a reality to experience, not just a statement to read. Somebody in the back, let me say it again. God with us, it's not just something that is cute on a Christmas card. It's not just a song we sing. It's not just a statement we read. Brother and sister, this is an experience to live. That God himself would be presently, currently, right at this momently with us. Yes, I said momently. Come on. I'm trying to help you see it here. Today, we visited that idea in the life of Mary and in Joseph. And I just want to recap some of these points because they've been hitting in my life hard and in really fresh ways. I pray they have been for you. We looked at Joseph's story first. And Joseph got hit with this radical news that his fiance, the one who he was pledged to be married to, he's betrothed to, was pregnant, but it wasn't by him. And that shook his whole entire world, as it would for all of us. Come on, amen?
Right. Amen.
And here's three things that we learned in the life of Joseph after he goes to sleep and an angel visits him in a dream. We learned that God with us provides clarity in the chaos. Joseph was in a sense in a state of chaos, right? Stuff's happening with his relationship. And all of a sudden she says, it's the Holy Spirit. The angel spoke to me and Joseph's thinking, how do I get out of this? How do I divorce her quietly? Because I'm a just and righteous man. I don't want a bunch of issues. I just want to move on with my life. And then he goes to sleep. And there's something about sleeping on it. Amen.
Yeah.
Like maybe write the email, but don't send it.
Right.
See how you feel the next day. Before you make a big decision, sometimes there's just a principle of sleeping on it. God speaks to Joseph in a dream and says, no, Mary is telling the truth. And she will give birth to the Son of God who will save his people from their sins, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will be the Savior, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph wakes up and three things happen. He sees clearly. He says, okay, if God's with me, I can see it. It may be chaotic, but I can see it. If God's with me, I'm confident in the calling. As long as I'm not going in by myself, I'm confident he's with me. Everybody in this room has a calling on their lives, and they all look different from one another. The good news is the one who gives the calling is with us.
Amen.
He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. God with us provides a calm in the commotion. There's been moments in my life over the past couple of weeks where it feels like the commotion is commotioning, right? Commotion just means a loud and noisy disturbance. And I think even in the Christmas season, you can sense some of that noise. And Jesus brings a sense of calmness through his presence into our commotion. And if you don't sense that, acknowledge him in it and watch how he's the one. There's never been a storm Jesus couldn't calm. Amen. There's never been a moment where Jesus wasn't in it that he couldn't calm it. He couldn't change it. He couldn't turn the negative into the positive. He's God. He's God with us. We look at Joseph's life and we see these three, and I hope that they boost your faith. But then we turn into Mary's life in Luke chapter 1, and we see three similar C words, but different. I want to go ahead and put these up here on the screen. Something about Mary's encounter with the angel gave her courage and concern. Isn't it good that God doesn't take you out of concern? He just meets you in it. The Bible is layered with stories of struggle, challenge, battles, nuanced, all types of strange moments even, and God doesn't always just get you out of it. He meets you in it. Christmas is about Jesus meeting us in our world. Christmas is about Jesus stepping out of the arena of heaven so that he can be here with us. That's a good reminder that God with us provides courage where there's concern. So if you're concerned about something right now, take courage, but not in yourself, in him. Amen. God with us provides a can where there's a can't. Mary says, how will this be? And the angel says, what's impossible with man, come on, feel that for a second, is possible with God. So he's the God of can. I asked you last week to adopt a new mentality for 2024. And don't even wait. Start now. It's a God can mentality. Come on, his name is not I was. It's I am. His name's not God can't. Friend, he is the God who can. What's impossible with man is possible with God. God can't. This has been a shift in my thinking. Friend, we need to get out of the pessimistic negativity Christianity that's not biblical. I believe in a Philippians 4:13 God who says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What does Paul say? The first two words there, I can. But he doesn't period there. He says, I can through Christ. Something about Christmas invites this new God can mentality. Mary had confidence because God can. But it's not just that he can, but that he's with her in her calling. The third and final C in her life that we looked at is how God gives her a sense of conviction where there's cynicism. Now, that wasn't as cute of a rhyming word, but I think the principle is really helpful, because if anybody ever had a reason to be cynical, a reason to say, I don't know about that, God. I don't know if you, what is cynicism? It's just a sense of, it's a form of doubt. It's a form of argumentation with God. Can you really do that? I don't really know if he still can. It's a form of wavering and arguing if something is actually true or not. And Mary says, I'm not going to be cynical about this. I got conviction. If God is who he says he is, and he always has been, he's not going to switch it up now. I might not have the full picture. I might not be able to see the puzzle. I can only just see the next piece. I have conviction that God is good and he's going to take care of me. And she knows that he's with her. So that's where we've been coming from the past couple weeks, taking these with us principles and applying them into our daily lives. Come on, amen.
Amen.
Today, I want to look at one more group of individuals in the Christmas story that I think sometimes get a little bit left out. They're not as popular. They're not as glamorous or glorious. In fact, today I would say we can relate to this group more than we can relate to Mary and Joseph. I mean, Mary and Joseph have a supernatural calling on their lives. Amen. We can learn from how God's with them. But I think this group that we're going to mention is a little bit more our speed in our life. They're known in the Bible as the shepherds, right? They're shepherds in the field, keeping watch by the flock at night, and God shows up in their life. And we can learn from their story here today. So if you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're hungry, say let's eat.
Let's eat.
Let's eat. Let's pray. Father, as we get ready to eat right now from your word, Lord, as we open this book, we do acknowledge together that we need you. And God, we acknowledge that you can. What we can't do, God, we pray you will. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us now through your word. Come on, pray that with me just right this moment. Just say, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's look at it. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 8. We're going to go travel all the way to verse 14. And let's check out the shepherds in their moment in this Christmas story. In the same region of Bethlehem where Mary had just given birth in the manger, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, come on, say these two words with me. Fear not. Come on, say it like you believe it. Fear not. And I think it's interesting that when the angel appeared to Joseph, first thing he says, don't be afraid. When he appears to Mary, he says, don't be scared. Right? I love what the little kids were just saying up there on the screen. What does God with us mean to you? It means we don't have to be afraid. It means that he's with us 24/7. It means that Jesus, that little girl just said, Jesus, right? God with us. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, come on, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I want to talk about how the Lord is with us through the lives of the shepherds. And what I want to do in this sermon is I want to get really down on the ground. Amen? Amen. I want to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. My points in this message are not super deep, okay? They're very basic, but don't miss the power in them, all right? If you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
I want to give you the first one, and I don't know if it's going to wow you or blow you away, but I hope that you'll reach into it and get all of the fruit inside. Because God is with us, we should talk to him. Hey, I'll take that response. That was better than the first two services. Come on. Walk Church, hear me online. Because God is with us, what should we do? We should talk to him. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of types of treatment, but I think the worst treatment is silent treatment. Let us never be caught giving God the silent treatment. Because God is with us, because that reality is true, friend, hear me on this. You know what we should do? We should talk to God. If you're telling me God is with me, well, I want to use that resource. I want to talk to him. We see this in the scriptures and the invitation to speak, to share, to communicate with the Savior of the world, God with us. Let me go ahead and define the word talk so we can all be on the same page. What does it mean to talk? Means to speak in order to give information or express ideas or feelings. Converse or communicate by spoken words. Here's what I want you to do. Ready? I want you to speak to God in order to give him info or express ideas or feelings. Converse with God. Communicate with God. Speak your words. Okay, come on, amen? I think too often we don't do this enough. Can I even say today in a sense of confession, if I can just be completely honest with you, I don't do this enough. I couldn't tell you today, even as a pastor, as a brother in the Lord, that I know that he's with me. It's not just a statement to read. It's a reality experience. I don't know that I talk with him enough. I'll give you a very real example from my life. And maybe you know this more clearly because this is the 11:30 service. And last Sunday, I showed up for the 8:30 service and I was pumped. I mean, I was clapping. I was preaching. I was high-fiving. After the service, I was high-fiving. And then at the 10 a.m. service, I was going in again. I was singing the songs. I was high-fiving. I was preaching the word. I was going in. In the 11:30 service, I thought I could do it again. And suddenly in the intro of the sermon, I started doing the and my voice got a little scratchy, and I started to notice, man, my voice was going out on me. And I had this thought right when I got off stage, I'm going to get a cough drop, one of those lemony ones. And so I popped a cough drop, and I was, you know, okay, this is helping. I think this is good. But I noticed that my voice was still deteriorating a little bit, so I got an even better thought. You know what? I'm going to drive to Starbucks, and I'm going to get a medicine ball. A medicine ball is on the secret menu. It's one of those hot teas with the lemon and the honey, and you're welcome. Thank me later, all right? Get you a medicine ball. So I was like, you know, telling the lady, can I get a medicine ball? You know, she's here, take that, you know. A little extra honey in there, you know. And I'm sipping on the medicine ball, and I go to sleep that night, and I'm telling Nina, something's up with my voice. And the next day, you know, I'm like, you know what? I think I know what to do. Let me go to Walgreens. I'm surveying the aisles. Y'all know that aisle that you don't want to go down, right? All the sick stuff, right? And I don't feel bad, but I'm just like, let me get some of that. Let me try some of this right here. Let me, you know, this will for sure help me and clear me up. And so I'm taking these different things and I'm trying to figure out. And then later on that day, people are like, yo, Hayden, man, you're kind of, your voice is a little off, man. What's up with you? And we're about to record the album. I got to read the scriptures. And I'm like, yo, pray for me, fam. Like, I need, yo, just lift me up. When y'all go to pray, lift me up, lift my voice up. Go to sleep that night. Next day, I wake up. Voice is still off. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm popping the cough drops. I'll get another medicine ball. I talk to Pastor Wes on the phone. I say, Pastor Wes, I need some wisdom. What can I do to help my voice? And he goes, you know what? Maybe you should like rest a little bit. Maybe you should just chill out. Maybe you should like not speak so much, or just maybe don't eat this. Don't drink that. That can maybe help. And I remember saying, hey, thanks a lot, Pastor Wes. I hung up the phone. I'm sitting there in my car. This is 3 days later, and for the first time, I think, why don't I talk to God? You mean to tell me I went to a cough drop, a Starbucks, Pastor West, no offense, Walgreens, sleep, and God was with me the whole time? I didn't even ask him. I'm right there. I wonder if God is with me in the Starbucks drive-thru saying, hey, you sound not good. You could just tell me. I wonder if God is walking through the Walgreens aisle saying, you about to spend some more money rather than just talk to me. I wonder if the Lord himself is saying, Wes is good, but I'm better. And I had a moment of repentance. And I said to the Lord in the car, and I think that 1 minute prayer did more than everything else that I did. Lord, forgive me for making you a last response rather than my first priority. Come on, amen. Lord, forgive me that I tapped into all the other worldly and fleshly wisdom. And can I just say, none of those things are bad. It was just out of order. Let me give you a challenge. I'll put it up here on the screen. Is God with us your first priority, or is it your last response? I want you to think about that. This Christmas season, is the God who is with you. God can't just stay on the pages of the Old Testament. Man, y'all should have seen him back there. He parted the Red Sea. They walked around the walls. Walls came down. He spoke to Ruth. He spoke to Esther. He used Jeremiah. And Elijah got caught up. He can't just stay there. He also can't just be something you look forward to in heaven. I'll fly away. No, how about you live right now? The truth of Christmas is God is with us now. You know what you should do as a result of that? Talk to him. Talk to him in the morning. Talk to him in the night and everything in between. Oh, friend, I hope that you don't get in your car and because of the technology, it syncs to your podcast and it plays right away before you ever got to say anything to God. That we don't have a moment of silence and we put our headphones on super quick. But that we would have a moment where we just talk to God. Lord, I want you to be my first priority. I want you to be my first call. You're the great physician. You don't have to heal me, but you can heal me. I'm going to God first. Come on, don't be that guy in the weight room and he's got all the weight on. He's and the spotter's right there. And you're like, I don't need it. I don't need the spot. Start strangling yourself. God's like, yo, I'm trying to spot you. I'm trying to do the heavy lifting for you. Let me lift this for you. God's not just a spotter. Come on, he's everything. He's God with us. Can I give you a simple definition for prayer?
Yeah.
Talking to God.
Yeah.
Talking to God. I think the best thing that you could do this Christmas season is talk to Him. I just shared that story telling on myself, but I would imagine I'm not alone. I think that there could be some other individuals here that you may talk to God in the morning and you might say, God, thank you for waking me up. And then you might go and give Him the silent treatment for the rest of the day. And God is saying, yo, I'm here with you. I'm here right now. So don't just call your friend and gossip. Gossip to me. Hey, the only person you can gossip to is the Lord. Now, He might convict you a little bit, but talk to Him. God with us. And I really believe He's with us in the mundane, in the monotonous maneuver of life. Let me define the word mundane for you. Mundane is characterized by the practical, transitory, and ordinary, commonplace. I'm sure that all of you in some capacity, come on, parents, y'all probably don't even have an alarm clock because it just, you know, a cry or a kid knocks or, you know, and then you're helping trying to find the socks. Then you get in the car, you take the same drive, you drop the kid off at school, and then you do your thing. Hey, Bob, you know, hi, blah, blah, blah. Get the newspaper. I don't know. You should check things. Maybe you have the monotony routine of work or relationship. And can I just tell you, God meets you in that. How do you know? Well, because He did for the shepherds. Come on, look back at with me, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. In the same region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds. You know what shepherds do? They watch the sheep. There's no more boring job than this. They're out in the field because that's where shepherds shepherd. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. So this is the night shift. Shepherds are shepherding. They got their little staff thing, and they're just probably like, how's it going, man? It's going. What are the sheep doing? The sheep are sheeping. The sheep are... The sheep are eating it. Now look at me. Listen to me, Walk Church. What am I trying to share with you? This is the most significant night in the history of the world. So down the street, God exits heaven. The Savior Christ is born. History stops. And in the making, right now, God doesn't say, okay, here's what I know. I'm going to go to New York City, Times Square, on the big LED wall and announce, Christ is here. He doesn't do that. What does He do? He says, the first people I'm going to share it with, those shepherds. The ordinary, mundane, regular individuals doing their work. God goes, those are the people I want to know first. I think God's trying to teach us something about how He's with you in the mundane. In fact, I believe a miracle can come out of the mundane if you see it that way, if you believe that God can. Let me give you that reality statement. A miracle, right? The birth of the Savior. He invites miracles into our mundane. To you, it's mundane. To you, it's just another day. But it was just another day for the shepherds too. Blew their mind. They go, God chose to reveal this good news of great joy for all the people to us, and they got pumped. Woo! I just want to encourage you to use your mundane, to use your skill, to use your job, to use your platform in the city of Las Vegas or wherever you are watching this and redeem it for His glory. In fact, I would say this, be a missionary in your mundane. Come on, amen. 2024 challenge. Be a missionary in your mundane. The gym looks different for me. It's a mission field. The coffee shop is different. It's a mission field. The school you go to, it's a mission field. The neighborhood you live in, I know people like to drive in and close their garage before they get out. But maybe there's a way where this next season can have a miracle in the mundane. You may wave at these people or see these people so often. What if you took a step? And on the journey of taking that step, you talked to God and said, God, I want a miracle. God, I want a miracle in my family. And I'm not going to be cynical. I'm going to have conviction. I'm not going to outdo myself in my own mind before I even get there. I'm going to have courage. Why? Because God's with us. So the first point of the sermon is this. Because God is with you, talk to him. Amen. Can I give you the second T word? Because God is with you, thank him. Come on, amen. Because God is with us, you know what we should do? We should thank him. All right, let me use myself as an example. So I finally have that moment midweek. I say, Lord, I need help with my voice. Forgive me for making you my last response rather than my first priority. I need to do better. I repent of that. And God, I want to start acknowledging you more. God, would you strengthen my voice? Would you heal my voice? Would you use this cough drop? Would you give me some wisdom? God, I acknowledge you've been with me all along. I need you, Lord. Changed my life. Next day, I feel a little bit better. Then I feel a little bit better. How do I sound? Man, you sound better, bro. Praise the Lord. And I'm moving through life, and then I realized, I don't know that I ever stopped to thank God for answering the prayer. And I would be willing to say to you today, is there things back in 2023 that you have yet to thank God for doing? Maybe just consider, have you paused to acknowledge the God who's been with you, to just say thank you for doing what he does? Amen? Amen. Every day we have a ton of things to just say thank you for. And so let us not be so quick to jump into our needs and our requests, though we should talk to them. Part of our talking should be complemented by thanking. Can I just say this? The fact that God is with us is worthy enough for thanksgiving. God, I want to thank you for what? Just for being with me. Thank you that you didn't leave me yet. I mean, I probably would have left myself. Been like, yo, hiding. I've been here with you. I'm like, I've been hanging out with you for a while now. I've been here to help you. I got the resources. I got the juice. I can help you. You're going to everything else. You know what? I'm going to go to somebody else. I'm done. And I'm grateful that God is not like that. Thank you, Lord. So he's worthy of thanks. Amen. What happens with the shepherds? The shepherds get this announcement first. Here's what's going to happen. There's a birth taking place right over there, and it's the Messiah. Good news, great joy for all the people. It's for us. It's for those in Las Vegas and those in Bethlehem. It's for us. And he's going to be the Savior. And glory to God in the highest for who this little baby is. What do the shepherds do? The shepherds go, sheep, y'all stay right here. We got to go see him. And they make their way, and they go right up in there. And it just happened. The birth. I don't know if it was a silent night, honestly. It was a holy night, but it was probably a messy night. Come on. I wonder if Mary was like, yo, chill, not right now. He's the Savior of the world. He's only an hour old. And what do the shepherds do? They start sharing everything the angel had told them. Say, yo, the angel just appeared to us, told us all about this baby. And there was a whole renown of singing and glory to God in the highest. And it says Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Mary goes, whoa. And then the shepherds go, all right, back to the mundane. And we never really hear about them again, but they'll forever have that moment. And what does verse 20 tell us? Luke chapter 2, verse 20. How did they return? Well, it says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. They came back. They had a little pep in their step that we saw the Savior. We saw Jesus. We saw Emmanuel, God with us. And I wonder if nobody else was even there to see. They were like telling the sheep, like, yo, sheep, man, it was crazy. Yo, it was crazy. Mary was there. Joseph was there. And baby Jesus was there. They had a reason to glorify God. They had a reason to praise God. What was the reason? God was with them. Can I tell you, he's worthy. The reason to give him thanks is just because he's worthy. If you read Isaiah chapter 6, you would find a man of God by the name of Isaiah. He gets into the presence of God for a moment and he can't even look up. And he falls on his face and he says, "Oh, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. I don't deserve to be in your presence. Don't kill me, Lord." Just the fact that God is with you should move you to thank him. Just the fact that he's with you and he's putting up with you and he's there for you should move you to say, "God, thank you. You don't have to do another thing. You don't have to give me another. Your presence is the best gift with us." Amen. Should move us to talk to him. Should move us to thank him. Let me give you the final T. Everybody say final T.
Final T.
Final T. Presence of God should move us to trust him. To trust him. Amen. Because God is with us, you know what we should do? We should talk to him. We should use our words in our heart and with our mouth to talk to God and talk to him always. And you know what we should do? We should use our words to thank him all the time. But you know what? We should trust him in the process. Because I would believe that there might be somebody here in the room today who would say, "You know what, Pastor Hyden, this is a helpful reminder. I do talk to God and I do thank God, but my situation still is bad." You know what I'd say? Trust him. Trust God. You know, there's an individual who came to church just the service before this. He pulled me aside as he was walking. He said, "Man, I'm so glad to be here. Man, this is great. I needed this because I've had a really rough 2 weeks. It has been all bad." And I said, "Man, what happened?" He gave me like four or five things that were just not good. And he goes, "But I trust him. It must be preparing me for something coming around the corner. I don't know. God can. I'm not going to throw in the towel just because I'm in the second chapter. The third chapter's got to be better. And if the third one isn't, well, the fourth one will be. Why? Because I trust him." God's character has been too, his track record has been too faithful for you to not trust him now. Amen. God with us. He's not God I was, although he was great. He's not God of the future only, although he will be great. Read Revelation. But friend, I just really believe he's with you right now. And that's what Christmas is all about. Let us learn to trust him. Let us learn to thank him. Now, I had a little bit of a lesson with one of my kids the other day. We're in the car and one of my kids just said, "Dad, I need water." I said, "All right, Dad, I need water." I said, "The word is please, first off." And I had a little water bottle, gave him this water bottle. I looked at him. "Oh, thank you. Thank you." And I'm trying to disciple my kids on how to say thank you. And can I just say, let us not have a childish mindset with God. Let us oftentimes say, "God, whoa, you did that. I asked you for that. You did that. Thank you." Amen. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Paul says it like this, right? He says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways." Now, I'm not talking about having childlike faith. Childlike faith is what you saw on the screen earlier. That's a God can. But there are some ways that you got to let go of, which is this: "God, I don't talk to you enough. God, I don't thank you enough. And honestly, I don't know if I trust you enough." May this be the season that you trust him again and say, "God, forgive me for the times where I stopped trusting you. I'm ready to trust you now." I don't know if you trust the Lord here today, but I want to encourage you that there's nobody more trustworthy than him. Amen. Amen. Look at this verse in Psalm 9. David knew this well. Psalm 9, verse 10 says it like this: "Those who know your name put their trust in you." If you know the name Emmanuel, Trust him. Come on. If you know the name Jesus, trust him. If you know the name God, trust him. If you know the name Holy Spirit, trust him. If you know the name Jehovah Jireh, trust him. If you know the name Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my defender, healer, provider, all of that. If you know his name, trust him. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I just want to lean into it for just a second. Seek him. Seek him means go to him. Look for him. Talk to him. One of my favorite verses, Matthew 6, verse 33. If you don't know this verse, remember it. Memorize it. Matthew 6, 33. Come on, read it with me. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. What's he saying there? He's saying you got to have a seek first mentality. Do you know how to seek first the kingdom? By seeking first the king. This little king in a manger. Why are they bringing him gold? Why are they bringing him frankincense? This expensive aroma and spice and gold and oil. Why are they bringing him myrrh? Well, there's a lot of prophecy hidden in those gifts, but I just want to say because he's the king. Because they knew, why is Herod paranoid? Where is he? Well, because he's the king. He's the king of kings. So as you seek first the king of the kingdom, come on, you can trust him with everything else. You know what happens next? It's really interesting. It's so interesting to me. You know what happens? Joseph and Mary go to sleep. Mary's looking at baby Jesus, and Joseph gets a dream. And you know what the angel says in the dream? The angel says, Joseph, wake up. There's a hit out on Jesus. They're already looking for him to kill him. I need you to get up and grab your fiance and grab baby Jesus and leave and go to Egypt. Joseph never been to Egypt. But you know what? He trusts God because God's with him. And Joseph packs it. Hey, Mary, wake up. The Lord just spoke. We got to go. Where? We got to go. And off they are. And they settle in Egypt for a season. And then what happens? God gives Joseph another dream. And says, all right, Herod's dead. You no longer need to stay in Egypt. I want you to move now to Nazareth to fulfill the prophecy on this Messiah. And I want him to grow up in Galilee. And what does Joseph do? God, I trust you. I'm grateful that Joseph doesn't go, man, you know what, God, we kind of have a nice little home here. Like Egypt is, you know, it's going well. No, I trust you. It doesn't mean that it was all rosy and great. It wasn't. There was a hit out on Jesus' life before he was born. And what does that show us? That we can trust him even in the darkest of times. God is with us. Amen. I don't know if you trust him today, but I would encourage you to. I'll give you one more verse that I want us to see out of Isaiah 26. Let's read this verse off the screen. Come on, right, one, two, three. You keep him in perfect peace. Hold on, whoa. Come on, double P right here. Say it with me, perfect peace. The person who didn't say it with me, try it again. Perfect peace. Anybody want that? I need that, Lord. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Trust him, talk to him, thank him because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Come on. He's not quicksand. He's not sinking sand. He's the people's champ. Come on. He's the rock. Amen. He's God. He's with us. Talk to him. Thank him. And when it doesn't make sense, trust him. Let's pray. God, today we declare we trust you. God, we not only declare that, but God, we also acknowledge how much we need you in this moment. So I want to pray with my brothers and sisters right now. in the room and online. If you're ready to trust in Jesus, or maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus, or you just need to take a step right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with what I can't control. I trust you with my fears. I trust you with my doubts. I trust you with my pain. I trust you with my struggles. I trust you with my family. But more importantly than anything else, I trust you with my sins. I trust you to forgive me. I trust you to cleanse me. I believe your blood is sufficient to wipe away all my sins. I trust you with my past. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my now. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the grave for me. I believe you ascended into heaven and you're coming back again for me. And God, I believe you're with me right now. So forgive me for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you're my Savior. And I trust you. Holy Spirit, come into my life and change me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.